minister to somebody. In the New Testament, you were a servant. You were a minister. You were a diakonos. If you just use the word diakonos and you look through the Bible, you find that they translated it minister, they translated it servant, and they translated it deacon. Three different ways, but it came from the same word. So therefore, it has no right to be separate or distinct. It has to be a diakonos. And if you waited on tables, or you prophesied, or you did anything to serve anybody, that term was called diakonos. And let these also first be proved, and then let them serve as deacons if they be blameless. 2:12, it says, I permit not a woman to teach, nor to have dominion over a man, but to be in quietness. So that leaves out women as being overseers. Not because they couldn't probably handle a job. I'm just saying God did it, and we don't have any right to say different. The head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man. And that's, we can't change that. And people who do change it, they are in rebellion. I don't care if they said God put them in the ministry because a man wouldn't take the job. They are liars. It says, listen, I'll give you one more verse. We'll come back here in just a second, but go to 1 Corinthians 14. This is plain now. If she teaches men, she's out of order. She's out of order. Because it says here, I permit not the woman to teach. And the word, I looked the word up, to teach, it means to give instruction. Or to take dominion or have authority over a man. He says, I don't permit. He wasn't saying that for himself. He was saying that for God. God said that. God said it. God said, I don't permit. Now, so today they have a schizophrenic God. Because now he says, well, I couldn't get enough men. You can go handle the job, you know. Well, either the men shouldn't go or they shouldn't do it because the Bible says it. Yeah, it's good because it says in Titus for the elder women to teach the younger. That's what a woman should be, a teacher of the younger women. Well, I don't see anything wrong with doing that sometimes because there's some things that women should learn from women. They shouldn't learn them from men. Even the Bible tells you, wives, if you got a question, go ask your husband at home. He didn't say go ask the pastor that because that's caused a lot of pastors to run off with the women folk, you know, because they didn't obey that. See? Because personal ministry between a pastor and the ladies of the church, there's something a little bit wrong with that. It causes a lot of trouble. God said be careful of that, you know. So look at this verse in 1 Corinthians 14, you know, since we brought this up, okay? 32. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets, for God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. As in all the churches, notice that, underline all right there, as in all the churches of the saints, let the women keep silence in the churches where it's not permitted unto them to speak. But let them be in subjection as also saith the law. Notice also, underline also. Also saith the law. Why does it say also? Because, you know, there's a lot of people say, well, that was just because it was the law, and they were talking to the Hebrews who separated the women from the men. Wait a minute. He said, also saith the law. You know what that means? It means that it's that way in the New Testament, too. Let them be in subjection as also saith the law, and if they would learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it's shameful for the woman to speak in the church. Now, they're not talking about having a Bible study. They're talking about speaking with authority, you know, speaking, you know. Now watch. It says, what was it from you that the word of God went forth, or came it unto you alone? If any man thinketh himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him take knowledge of the things that I write unto you, that they are the commandment of the Lord. And if any man is ignorant, just let him be ignorant. See, there are people that are ignorant. But let me tell you something. What he said here, this was the commandment of the Lord. God said this, you see. We've got no right to question it. We've got no right to go against it. If it says it, we have to accept it, you know. We may not like it, but we got to accept it. And I can tell you that I've listened to some women that seem to be very gifted. And I'll tell you what, I noticed something. I believe this now. You may think this is strange, but I believe if a woman puts herself in that position, or people put this woman in that position, that God will gift her. You think he'll do it? He'll do it. I know he'll do it. He'll gift her because the people need it. He loves the people need it. Somebody's got to give them what they need. God will do it. That doesn't mean the woman's right. If she's anointed, that does not mean she's right. God can anoint a donkey. Can't he? He did it, didn't he? Opened his mouth, let him speak. He can do that. That didn't, you know, that, see what I'm saying. I'm not comparing women to donkeys, please. Don't get me in trouble. I'm not saying God sent her. I'm saying he's anointing. Let me point out this way. I'll put it this way. There are pastors who are in the position of pastors that were not even saved. They got saved later. But when they laid hands on the sick, God would heal them. You ever heard of that happening? I have. Because the people were coming there in faith that God would heal them.
Right.
And God did it.
That was really.
And people go to a church in faith that God will feed them. And he'll feed them. But you know what? That doesn't mean that the vessel is right. Paul said, after I have taught others, I myself would be rejected if I didn't keep my body under. He could have taught others, anointed, saved others, done all that, and then lost his soul. Well, okay, go back to 1 Timothy 3. I just wanted to point that out. You know that that's what the Bible says, you know. And so if they say differently, what can we say? If you're going to agree with the Word, you've got to agree with the Word, you know. I don't want, you know, let them take knowledge of the things that I write unto you. They are the commandment of the Lord. That's what Paul said. So we've got to accept that. And listen, the devil comes as an angel of light. He sends his ministers as ministers of righteousness. You know, when the devil comes to you, he's going to sound like the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, that's what he wants you to believe his voice is. This is me, God. And I'm, you know. But if he tells you something contrary to the Scriptures, no, that wasn't the Lord. You know, I was talking to you about your mom the other day, and the thought came to me, you know, if somebody would come to you and say, the Lord just told me to divorce my wife and go marry somebody else, what would you tell them? I'd ask this person that believed that God now sent women, yeah? What would you tell them? You say, well, I'd tell them, that's not scriptural. You can't do that. That's not scriptural, you know? Well, that's the same thing, you know. If God told you that you had authority over men, then tell him that's not God. No, God, that's not you. You know, whatever, you know. You understand what I'm saying? If this is our foundation, this is the only thing we can go by. God's laid down the rules. We can't change them. It's not a thing of pride. It's not a thing of competition. It's not a thing of men being better than women. It's just a matter of finding your place in God and doing it. See? It doesn't have anything to do with competition or women's lib or anything like that. It's God's law. Turn to Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. There can be neither Jew nor Greek. There can be neither bond nor free. There can be no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Now, didn't he preach to the slaves to not seek their freedom, but seek to serve their masters? See, he didn't say here, there's no difference between bond and free, but he told those people who were in subservience to their master, said, serve them. And he says, they're brothers, serve them even better. Knowing you're serving somebody in the kingdom. So he wasn't using this. 1 Corinthians 11 said, the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man. You're all one in Christ. It's true. I mean, it makes no difference. You know, God is not a respecter of persons, which is what he's talking about here, not authority, not the chain of command. He's not a respecter of persons. He don't care whether you're male, female, Jew, Greek, it makes no difference to him. The Bible says, know no man after the flesh. He commands us to do that. He does that. He's not a respecter of persons. He doesn't prefer males over females, Jews over Greek. He doesn't do that. The Bible says he doesn't. He's not a respecter of persons. So he is a preferrer of righteousness. He is a respecter of righteousness, but he's not a respecter of whether you're Jew or Greek, black, white, or anything, male, female. He doesn't respect that. But he respects righteousness. 1 Timothy chapter 3 says, faithful is the saying, if a man seeks the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. The bishop therefore must be above reproach, without reproach. The husband of one wife, I mean, twice now he said it had to be a man because he has to be a husband, right? Temperate, sober-minded, orderly, given to hospitality, apt to teach, no brawler, no striker, gentle, not contentious, no lover of money, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. But if a man knoweth not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, in other words, not a new believer, not a young believer, lest being puffed up and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony from them that are without, lest he fall into the reproach and the snare of the devil. Deacons in like manner, or ministers or servants in like manner, must be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre or gain, right? Holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. That disqualifies quite a few right there, you know, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. Let these also first be proved, and then let them serve us. Not just anybody should be able to minister in the church. But anyway, verse 11 says, women in like manner must be grave, not slanderers. I want to say this too. The word women there in verse 11 is the word gune. It's the same word as in the following verse where it says, let deacons be husband of one wife. So if it's wife, it's wife. It shouldn't be women and then wife if it's the same Greek word. It should be wife because a gune is a wife. See what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
See, some people in verse 11, they say that, well, the women will be deacons in that office, in office of deacons. And it's not talking about that. It's talking about the wives of the deacons. Because the word here in 11 is gune, women in like manner, or wives in like manner. It's the same word as in verse 12 where it says husbands of one wife. It should be the same word. The thing that gives the devil authority or takes his authority is when we stand on the Word of God.
Okay, but what about if we're interceding for somebody else?
Well, if we have a right to intercede for that person, we can bind the devil and he has to back off. If we have a right to.
We
don't always have
children.
That right.
With
our children, we do have a right. You know what? You don't have to rebuke the devil when you're in agreement with God. If you're going along saying, by his stripes I'm healed, you know what? You just took away his authority. If you're agreeing with that, you've taken his authority away. But if you're saying, I'm sick, what am I going to do to get rid of this sickness? You've given him authority.
Right.
My children don't have to have faith. If I pray on them, they're going to get healed. It's going to be my faith. I mean, we have that in the Bible. We see the Syrophoenician woman exercising faith for her daughter. We see the centurion exercising faith for his servant. See, if a person is that we have authority over, or we are responsible for, if they're incapacitated, they don't have faith, too young to have faith, lack of understanding, God will use our faith. But if you're going to try to use your faith over somebody out there that God expects them to have their own faith, he won't accept that. The devil knows he's got authority there. Jesus only exercised authority when people agreed with him. He could not do many mighty works because of their unbelief. In other words, since they didn't agree with him, didn't believe in him, you know how you resist the devil? The way we resist the devil is by agreeing with the Word. Because where is the warfare? In 2 Corinthians, tells us right here. Well, how does he tell you to do it? Cast down every reasoning or imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That's how we win the battle. So, see, the devil comes to deceive you into believing he's got authority.
Right.
Or if he can deceive you into believing something other than the Word, then in that area, he'll take authority over you. That's why we have to study the Word, is to find out what we've been delivered of, where we've got authority, and so on and so forth. We need to find out we are not under the curse. Whatever the curse is, we're not under it. And we can take authority over that. I give you authority over all the power of the enemy. That's what Jesus said. We've got it, but we have to exercise it. Well, you know what? If any two of you agree, it's touching anything, it shall be done. And anything that will help your faith, that's why we've got so many promises. Anything that will help your faith. You know, if just laying hands on the sick is not enough, you like to have oil. We got a promise for that, don't we? You can claim another promise by using law. So, you know, anything that will help your faith, God is willing to go that way. We impart gifts to one another this way. You know, like we were talking about a while back, the words that I speak, their spirit in their life, you know. A teacher has a gift to pass on, his gift of teaching. He does it with his words. They go into other people and they raise up teachers. You know, an evangelist has a gift to pass on his gift. A lot of people don't realize that. An evangelist passes on his gift by speaking that in the ears of other people. He passes on his mantle. He passes on his gift. And when the fivefold ministry, or when the apostles teach the people, God raises them up because the word went into them and raised up this gift in them. But I'll tell you something else, you know, a preacher in the New Testament that only preaches forgiveness of sins, he's living in the Old Testament because they had the forgiveness of sins through the blood of bulls and goats. But they couldn't take away sins. See, there's preachers that are not living, they're not teaching the New Testament at all. They're not teaching that the sacrifice of Jesus took away sin. The nature of sin is gone. He took it away. He nailed it on the cross. They're preaching, just accept forgiveness. You're always going to be a sinner. Just accept forgiveness. If the Bible doesn't permit divorce, and two people get a divorce, and one of them goes and remarries, that person committed fornication. The second one is free. You see that? So whoever the first one is that goes and remarries, they commit fornication. The second one is free. You see that from the Scripture?
Yeah.
Because fornication is a ground for... See, what I'm saying is, if the Bible doesn't give you grounds for divorce, but you do it because the world gives you grounds for divorce, and then one of you goes and remarries, the Bible says they are an adulterer. If they be joined to another while the husband liveth, they are an adulterer. Well, it says the wife to not depart. But should she depart, let her remain unmarried. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. In other words, he's telling you not to depart. But if you do, remain unmarried. And he's talking about, of course, two Christians that are married and they find it too hard to live together, or maybe he's beating her up or whatever, you know, whatever the case is. He says, don't depart from your husband. I mean, women have actually obeyed that when they really wanted to and saw God restore because they obeyed the word. But it says, should they depart? First he commands you not to. Then he says, but if you do, remain unmarried. Why? So you don't commit fornication. Because if you do remarry, you have committed fornication. You shall be known, according to the Scriptures, Romans chapter 7, as an adulterer. Turn to Ezekiel 34. Huh?
You don't like this, but then...
Oh, I don't. I'm, you know, it's fine. You know, whatever God wants to do, you know. Knowledge is knowledge, and we need it, you know. But I'll tell you what, you just cannot trust anything but the word of the Lord. And it's clear on any of these subjects. It's clear, you know. It's a matter of just looking at the black and white. It's not even deep revelations most of the time, you know. It's clear. Ezekiel 34. I want to show you the emphasis that the Bible gives about where the responsibility lies for this great falling away that we're in and what God's going to do about it. Look at verse 10. I want to point something out before we get away from this subject and look on something else. It says, thus saith the Lord, behold, I'm against the shepherds. I will require my sheep at their hand and cause them to cease from feeding the sheep, which he's doing right now. This is where we're at in the time frame. He's causing them to cease from feeding the sheep. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves anymore. And I will deliver my sheep from their mouth, that they may not be food for them. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I myself, even I, will search for my sheep and will seek them out. And as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered abroad, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will deliver them out of all the places whither they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and will bring them into their own land, and I will feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the watercourses, and in all the inhabited places of the country. And I will feed them with good pasture, and upon the mountains of the height of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie down in a good fold, and on fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. And I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord. And I will seek that which was lost, and bring back that which was driven away, and bind up that which is broken, and strengthen that which is sick. But the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. Now the Lord says, I myself will be the shepherd of the sheep. Is there any place in the Bible where there's not going to be shepherds of the sheep? I haven't found any place except here it says, I myself will be the shepherd. So I asked the Lord about this. Years ago I asked the Lord now, what does this mean, that I myself will be the shepherd of the sheep? Well, do you know that if the fivefold ministry only moves in the gift, and they don't get outside the gift, and they don't get over into taking authority over another man's gift, and they don't go over into doing another man's job, and they just flow in the gift, and they only speak the word, they only represent Christ, they only are ambassadors for Christ. You know that that is the Lord flowing through them. In a way, you know, the Bible says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? We study the Scriptures in order to get into agreement with Jesus so that He can flow through us. He cannot move through you if you're in disagreement with Him. You will stop Him. You will quench the Spirit in every case. When you agree with Him, you can flow with Him. He can flow through you perfectly, you see. So when the fivefold ministry is in agreement with Jesus, in agreement with the Scriptures, only moving in their gift, guess who's shepherding the sheep?
God Himself.
God Himself. And nobody else. This is His plan. It's always been His plan. But you see, when the shepherds rebel, they're shepherding the sheep. And God has to rescue His sheep from them. Look over here on the next, well, over in verse Ezekiel 34. And I'll tell you what. Let me read from 17 on down, because it's talking about just what you're saying, okay? 17, it says, as for you, O my flock, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will judge between sheep and sheep, the rams and the he-goats. Seemeth it a small thing unto you to have fed upon the good pasture, but you must tread down with your feet the residue of your pasture, and to have drunk of the clear waters, but you must foul the residue with your feet. Can you imagine the leader walking through the clear water, making mud for the sheep to drink the old muddy water? Well, every leader does that. You know, I mean, you do not teach the truth when you're not obeying. You go around that, you teach something else. We're not going to get on that subject, you see. And or else you'll bend the truth to suit yourself. And so what the sheep end up doing is they end up drinking your muddy water. If a pastor's, I can point out one on TV that has been divorced twice, and the people in his congregation believe in divorce. They get divorced. And he's divorced from Christians twice. And the people in his congregation don't seem to have any problem with divorce either. And if they say everybody's going to fly away, don't worry about getting sanctified and holy, then that's where everybody else is going to, they're going to fly away in that muddy water, you see. Well, let's read on, because you're going to get to David here, and I'll show you something about David in the Scriptures. You'd be surprised. The Bible does prophesy that David is going to be the shepherd of the sheep. You know? And it says, and as for my sheep, verse 19, they eat that which you have trodden with your feet, and they drink that which you have fouled with your feet. Therefore thus saith the Lord unto them, behold, I even I will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because you thrust with the side and with the shoulder, and push all the disease with your horns, until you have scattered them abroad. Therefore will I save my flock. They shall no more be a prey, and I will judge between sheep and sheep. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And by the way, this was a long time after David. So who's he talking about? He's talking about Jesus being the shepherd of the sheep, right? One flock. Jesus prophesied that, by the way. He was going to have one flock and one shepherd, and he was going to be that shepherd. Do you think that means that there's no pastors, nobody in between, nobody that Jesus ministers through? If you believe that, you're wrong, because we can see that in the Scriptures. David, the David ministry is in the earth now. It's the Jesus ministry. You know that? Jesus is going to shepherd his sheep through David. But, you know, Jesus was David. He called himself the Son of David. In the Scriptures, it prophesied, David prophesied of himself as though it were Jesus. Those prophecies fit Jesus in the New Testament. See, so in a way, Jesus was David. But if Jesus is permitted to move through the fivefold ministry, they're David too, and I can prove that to you, okay? Let me read on here first. It says, "And he shall feed them, even my servant David, he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will make with them a covenant of peace, and will cause evil beasts to cease out of the land." Praise the Lord. You know what that means, don't you? There's evil beasts in this land, right? "And they shall dwell securely in the wilderness." Here's where David's ministry is going to start. It's in the wilderness. Yeah. The Lord showed me that too, that my ministry is going to start in the wilderness.
David, so what you're saying is that God, at least last days, will never call a woman to teach like you're doing. That will never happen.
No, he won't do that.
You'll always be him.
And I've known some very sincere women that thought God had called them to teach, but if they would have held to the word, they wouldn't have believed that was God. Whoever spoke to them, they wouldn't believe it was God. Yes, it is. And he gives a reason for it. It's not just because of women. He says because the woman, having fallen into transgression, was beguiled. She was deceived. Look at Jeremiah 23. Okay? I'll show you the David ministry that the Bible talks about. And it's this time, right now. We're about to enter in to this great promise from God. He's going to do something in the wilderness. He's going to restore the fivefold ministry. He's going to restore the ministry that there was in the beginning. He says, I'll return to you the judges that you had as at the beginning. Well, I'll tell you what. Hold Jeremiah 23 and turn to Isaiah chapter... I'm going to come back there. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. No, 21. Isaiah 1 and 21. The sequence of events here. It says, "How is the faithful city become a harlot?" See what has happened? People want to know about the two women in the book of Revelation. The woman in Revelation 12. Why she looks so different from the harlot, you know? The faithful city has become a harlot. The faithful city being the city of God's people, it's become a harlot. They've apostatized. They've loved the world. They've committed fornication with the world. They love the things of the world. They've humbled themselves to people who teach words other than the Word of God. See? And so what's God going to do? Read on. It says, "As she that was full of justice, righteousness lodged in her, but now murderers. Thy silver is become gross, and thy wine mixed with water. My princes are rebellious and companions of thieves, and everyone loveth bribes and followeth after rewards. They judge not the fatherless, neither doth the cause of the widow come unto them. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, I will ease me of mine adversaries." He's talking about the leaders now. "And I will avenge me of mine enemies, and I will turn my hand upon thee and thoroughly purge away thy dross, and will take away all thy tin. And I will restore thy judges as at the first, and thy counselors as at the beginning. And afterward thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, a faithful town." See, God is fixing to turn the harlot. After destroying the leadership of this harlot, he's going to turn her back to righteousness, you know. Those that will come out, right? "Zion shall be redeemed with justice and her converts with righteousness, but the destruction of transgressors and sinners shall be together, and they that forsake the Lord shall be consumed." Okay? So God has promised to restore the leadership. He restored it for Israel. He's going to restore it for the church. Those are dual prophecies. Okay? Now, look at Jeremiah 23. You'll see the same thing. God's promised to do that. You know, some people don't even see the apostasy in the leadership of the church. They just think, well, God's got different kinds of ministers, you know, all these different religions. Well, I mean, when you read the Bible, the more you read the Bible, the more you can see it. Because the Bible gives you discernment. If you don't ever read the Bible, it's easy to accept this system as, well, this is just the way God did it, you know. Not seeing, not having discernment of how far fallen away it is. But yet, the more you read the Bible, the more you can see it is totally apostate. It's something that he rejects. It's something that he is going to bring judgment against. And so, in 23, he says, woe to the shepherds that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, against the shepherds that feed my people, you have scattered my flock, you have driven them away. And by the way, you know what they're driving them away from? The mountains of Israel. He said, you won't enter in and you won't let any of them enter in, Jesus said. He's driving them away from the mountains. What does that mean? The high places in God. The places that are above the earth. You know? See, what they're doing right now when they try to talk you out of the Word of God is they're driving you away from the high places. He prophesies that over and over in the Scriptures about it. Well, he says, I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries whither I have driven them. And by the way, God's people have been driven into all these different countries in spiritual type. We've been taken captives by the nations, see? But what God wants to do spiritually is bring us back to the land of Israel. That's our trip, is to come out of the nation and to be dwelling upon the promised land, the land of promise, the land of the promises, you know? And that's what the shepherds are not permitting. They will not permit you to dwell and to live on the promises. They'll drive you away from them. They won't, since they're not entering in, they are jealous. They won't let you enter in either. And so, he says, verse 4, and I will set up shepherds over them who shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall any be lacking, saith the Lord. Shepherds, plural, watches. Watch carefully. There was no paragraph indentation here in the original. It just went on to say, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise up unto David a righteous branch. You know, he wasn't talking about the first David, he's talking about Jesus, a righteous branch. I'm the vine, you're the branches, right? Okay? A righteous branch. And he shall reign as king and deal wisely. And you may think he's talking about a man here, but watch real carefully and you'll see he's not talking about a man. He's talking about a corporate man. He shall deal wisely and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah shall be saved. And Israel shall... Remember now, why Judah saved? The northern 10 tribes worshipped the image of the beast. They called it Jehovah, but it was the image of the beast. The golden calf. Judah was the one that was saved. Okay? So, now watch. And besides, Judah was the house of David. Right? Okay? And this is the name whereby he shall be called. Look at that. The Lord, or Jehovah, our righteousness. It's plural. This branch of David is going to be called Jehovah our. What's the mean our? It didn't say my as if it was one person. It's not one person. It's a corporate body. Jehovah our righteousness. You see that? So this David is many. Like the Lord told me one time. He says, I'm moving the Sauls out the way. I'm making room for David. And he said, you're one of my Davids. He's got a lot of Davids. The Davids are in the wilderness because Saul's ruling in Jerusalem. But when the Philistines come and they destroy Saul, guess who's going to be ruling in Jerusalem? That's the way it happened. All those types of shadows will be fulfilled. Those are prophecies to the end of time. They will be fulfilled. And God's saying the same thing right here. Jehovah, our righteousness. And, you know, if you get time, you can read the rest of that. Go over to 33, Jeremiah 33. Show you something real curious that unless you got the American Standard Version, you probably are not going to see this. In verse 14, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will perform that good word which I have spoken concerning the house of Israel and concerning the house of Judah. In those days, and at that time, will I cause a branch of righteousness to grow up unto David. Same thing, right? He shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days shall Judah be saved. Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name whereby she... Did your Bible say she there or he?
She.
Huh? It.
Or he.
Well, he is wrong. She is the word supposed to be. Can you imagine? Now, wait a minute. We just read over here. It says he shall be called. Jehovah, all right. Now it's saying she. You remember how we ran into that before? In the numeric, in the book of Revelation, how that the false prophet was called he, and then all of a sudden it calls him a she in the numeric, etc. Well, here it's the same thing. Called him a she. Why? Because this is a part of the body of Christ. Here, this David is not a person that's a he, you know. Christ has a body and it's a she, right? But it's another proof that he's talking about a body here. A body of believers, this branch, okay? Shall be called Jehovah our righteousness. For thus saith the Lord, David shall never want a man to sit upon the throne of the house of Israel. Guess what? David's going to have a man sit on the throne of the house of Israel. And do you know where the throne is, by the way? Jeremiah chapter 3 says that Jerusalem shall be called the throne of the Lord. Jerusalem shall be called the throne of the Lord. And Jesus said about his bride that she was going to sit down with him in his throne. You know what? Think about that. That's a big throne. She's going to sit down with him in his throne? This is a big throne we're talking about. You know what he's talking about? The New Jerusalem is the throne of God. And his bride is going to sit down with him in his throne. Big throne. It's that city. Well, you see, we're heading towards the throne room the more we come into unity with Christ and believe the truth. Jerusalem is the throne. It shall be known in that day as the throne. If you're in the New Jerusalem, you are seated with him in the throne. See? But it says here, you'll never want a man to sit upon the throne of the house of Israel. Neither shall the priests, the Levites, want a man before me to offer burnt offerings and to burn meal offerings and to do sacrifice continually. Let's see. Verse 26. Then will I also cast away the seed of Jacob. I should go back. Verse 25. Thus saith the Lord, if my covenant of the day and of the night stand not, and if I have not appointed the ordinances of heaven and earth, then will I also cast away the seed of Jacob and of David my servant, so that I will not take of his seed to be rulers. Look carefully now. David's seed to be rulers over the seed of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. For I will cause their captivity to return, and I will have mercy upon them. Did you see that? You've heard what they say about the Jews ruling over all of God's kingdom? It's not true. It's a lie. It says it right here. It's the seed of David that's going to rule over the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he's talking about the seed being of David. Jesus is David. So the Bible clearly tells him, I will build again the tabernacle of David. And he said this was the Gentiles in the book of Acts. The tabernacle of David is the Gentiles. God's building a new tabernacle in this New Testament, and it's the Gentiles. But David, God's going to take of David's seed, that's Jesus' seed, to be rulers. See, David is going to be rulers, and they're going to rule over the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know, the bride is going to rule over the physical Jews. Do you know that? Now, go back to Jeremiah 23 and verse 16. But what I just showed you was he's going to reject leadership. He's going to give new leadership. Basically, he's going to be that leadership, but he's going to be that leadership through a group of people, you see. And verse 16, he tells you why he's doing that. And it's always the same answer why he's doing that. What he's going to do right now, God is angry with the leadership of Christianity. He is going to destroy it, and he's going to start all over. Well, the ones that don't go and look for the truth, they're not going to live. What's going to happen in this country is, righteousness delivereth from death. A person's going to have to walk with the Lord and have faith in the Lord to save them, or they won't be saved. You know, there are people that die all the time, but yet they die before their time. He said, my people are destroyed for lack of understanding. Because people don't understand the covenant, because they don't believe that Jesus healed them. He don't heal them sometimes. He healed them. You see? If they don't believe that, they can die. They can go on. But if they understand the covenant, and they stand on the covenant, they believe what the Word says, they can be delivered from that curse, you see? Well, there's a terrible curse coming upon this land. A terrible judgment coming upon this land. It's going to destroy the wicked. The people that are going to live through it are going to be the righteous. I mean, Justin there, he had a clear vision of it. You know, the ship with the people dressed in white, dressed in black. What God's going to do is, the church will be able to start over because he's going to destroy us all. The Philistines are coming to do that. The pagans, the lost, they're coming to do that. They're going to destroy us all. They're going to look for the preachers to kill them. And I'm not so sure that the other side is going to look for them to kill them too. I'm talking about America. It says thus, verse 16, thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They teach of you vanity. They speak a vision out of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say continually unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, you shall have peace. And unto every one that walketh in the stubbornness of his own heart, they say, no evil shall come upon you. For who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord, that he should perceive and hear his word? Or who hath marked my word and heard it? Behold, the tempest of the Lord, even his wrath, is gone forth. Yea, a whirling tempest, and it shall burst upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he has executed, until he have performed the intents of his heart. In the latter days you shall understand it perfectly. Who's he talking about bursting upon the head of the wicked? He's talking about these, both the liars and the people that believe the lies. He's not talking about the wicked world, he's talking about the wicked, his people. You know, both the leadership and those that believe them. And so, and he said in the latter days you'd understand what he was talking about. In other words, what's coming? People are going to understand this like they never understood it before. He said, I sent not these prophets, yet they ran. I spake not unto them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, then had they caused my people to hear my words, and had turned them from their evil ways and from the evil of their doings. In the latter days you shall understand it. Perfectly. God is going to do a new thing. And he is. Because in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he says that before the destruction comes, he sent in a delusion. So those that didn't have, that had pleasure in unrighteousness but didn't love the truth, they'd be deceived and destroyed. God is doing a new thing. In fact, Deuteronomy 13:1 says that. Look at what it says in Deuteronomy 13:1. You think God isn't sending this delusion? He's sending it. I tell you. Listen. It says, God's always used deception. He said it must needs be that there be heretics among you, so that they that are approved of God may be made manifest. God's always had deceivers among the people of God, so that the ones that are approved of God would be proven. See, because why? They're not going to swallow it. They don't swallow a lot. He says they don't hear another voice. Believe it or not, the ones that are deceived are the tares. They don't hear another's voice. Jesus, we read it in John chapter 10. They won't follow another voice. This is this verse, Kurt. It's in Deuteronomy 13:1. It says, if there arise in the midst of thee a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he give thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass. Now, first of all, if a prophet... If a sign or wonder comes to pass, who did that? Well, the Bible says, who commandeth a thing and it cometh to pass, but I, the Lord, have commanded it. So, you know, even if the devil commands something and it comes to pass, it had to come further back in him, because he don't have the authority. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me, Jesus said. You know, Jesus gives authority. Well, whatever happens, if somebody commands a thing and it comes to pass, it has to first come from God, because he's the one that says what goes, basically. If there arise in the midst of thee a prophet or dreamer of dreams, he'd give thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet, or unto that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you, to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. The Lord your God proveth you. Whose purpose is being fulfilled here? The devil's or God's? God's. He comes after the working of Satan with all signs and lying wonders. For this cause, God sendeth them a working of error. Wait a minute. He's coming after the working of Satan, but God is sending? That's what it says. God is sending them. See, God, read the book of Job. God is the sovereign. Not the devil. He's the only sovereign. He quite often sends, the Bible even says, he sends evil spirits. He sends them. Remember Micaiah the prophet? You know, he stood before the Lord to find out, and Ahab and Jehoshaphat were going to go to war. A good king and an evil king were going to go to war together. And Micaiah said he stood before the Lord, and the Lord said, who shall go and entice Ahab to go up to Ramoth-Gilead? And an evil, wicked spirit said, I'll go. I'll be a lion spirit in the mouth of all of his prophets. The Lord said, go and do likewise. And you know what? All of his prophets but one was a lion prophet. all the prophets of Israel but one in that case. It went up before. All of them were lying. A lion spirit was in their mouth to deceive the wicked. And God sent him.
Well, even with Job, he discussed Job's situation with the devil. I mean, he consulted with him.
And he set his boundaries. In every case, he set the devil's boundaries. You can do this, but you can't do that.
Why did God allow that?
To bring Job to repentance.
Okay.
Because it wasn't that he was doing, you know, outward moral disobedience. He wasn't, but he was self-righteous. And he repented of that, too. He repented, God restored, God blessed him for it, you know. But Job said, shall we receive good at the hand of God and not evil? And in all this, did not Job sin with his lips? In other words, he said the truth. Shall we receive good at the hand of God and not evil? Wait a minute. When the evil came, it came through the hand of the devil. Did you notice that? See, God is sovereign. He does. He uses vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. It just so happens that the devil is the head over his vessels of dishonor. You know, the devil don't really believe in every case. I found this out. The devil doesn't believe in every case that he's serving God. He's serving himself. But you know, the Lord showed me this one time. Just as the Lord works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. Have you ever noticed that? That you can be used of the Lord and you can look back and say, wow, God used me there, you know? And you didn't even know it, but God was using you, you know? He worked in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. You just naturally fulfill this work of the Lord. Well, you know, the devil does the same thing and he don't know it. Because God works in him to will him to do his good pleasure, and he don't know it. He's deceived. You can't deceive without being deceived. Because what the universal law is, whatsoever you sow, you reap. So if he deceives, he got to be deceived, you see. So he is deceived. He is serving God, and he don't know it. You know the devil is serving God? God could have destroyed the devil way back in the Garden of Eden. It wasn't his purpose. Be careful you're not a vessel of dishonor. Because it depends. We can be used as vessels of honor or vessels of dishonor. Yeah, you don't have to worry about the devil. You have to worry about you. God gives him authority over the wicked, and we give him authority over us.